afternoon, everybody. So let's continue a little bit in Pasachim. We started to discuss what qualifies as a palter and under what circumstances you can be makel on pas palter. One thing that relates to this discussion but doesn't come up until the very end of the simin, we might as well just mention it right now, is what Shulchan Aruch writes at the very last sif in the simin. The yesh mishomer shanizam v'pasam v'chav v'hu b'terech im yesh pasal yisrael hadara milim yamtin. That there's the Yesh Misha Omer, that if you're traveling and you're generally careful about Pas Palter, or Pas Obed Kuchavim, I should say, and there's Pas Shal Yisrael up until 4 milin ahead of you, meaning if you just travel another 72 minutes, you'll run into Pas Yisrael, so then you should not rely on the Pas Akum. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. You need to wait 72 minutes. The Ramah, predictably, on the spot, says, but I don't see why anyone would ever be mafir about Pas Palter to begin with. We're menoach to be mekel on Pas Palter, so this Shaila should never come up because you never have to deal with the 72 minutes. What's interesting about this halacha is that the Mechaber seems to be comparing this to other places where we do have dinim that you need to wait dalin mil and one mil in the other direction. For example, when it comes to netilas yadayim, you could be mekil if there's no water available lefun of dalin milin ula achrav mil. Right, by netilas yadayim, that's the halacha about the water. So the Pesachei Tshuva and Simchat and Vav makes this connection. Right, the Pesachei Tshuva on the spot. The same rachach masad and chal sam chaykasa dal kol pan l'day azu. So he makes this connection between the two halachos for tefillah, for netilas yadayim. So apparently the shear that you have to go out of your way is 1 meal, and the shear that you have to go on your way and just travel further on your way is dalin meal. That might help us understand how much tastier something has to be to apply this heter of Pas Akum, meaning of Pas Palter. Meaning we had said that according to the Mechaber, the halacha is in Sif Beis, that yesh mekomel shemekilim bedavar v'lochem pas minachtom obichavim b'makom shein sham nachtom Yisrael b'nei sheyishas l'chak, but you should never do Pas Palet Batim. And then he writes in Sif Dalid, Makum Shane Palter Yisrael Matsu Dasa Matir Lika Pas Palter Vukhan. No. Where is it? Sifay. Yeshom Shemish Yesh Biyado Pas. Oh, she is Palter Yisrael. Vyesh Palter Vukhan Mosa Pas. Yafa Mimenu, if there's a Nachri that makes better bread than the Jews make, or a different min, Shane Biyadu Shal Palter Yisrael, or a different type of bread that a Palter Yisrael doesn't make, Mutu Liknos Mi Palter Avichavim, you're then allowed to buy from the Palter Avichavim, Vimakma Shreg, who had to pass Shal Palter. The Kivat, the Taito, Nochi Yoser, Pas Palter Zem, Nechashvusu Beinov, Hareza Kipas the Chukalo. That's considered Pas the Chukalo. So we started the discussion, how much better? And what even qualifies as better? Is it better price better? Is it what if, I don't know, they both taste good. One of them, usually is a little fresher. One of them is more reliably good and more consistent than the other one. How do you define what exactly is considered to be a better Pas Palter than the Pas Yisrael? So maybe you could make this connection. If you would travel an extra 18 minutes or wait an extra 72 minutes for the better bread, then that's considered to be much better. And that would be, maybe you think in your mind, what would I do? Would I go 18 minutes out of my way to go to the store? I live right next door to a Jewish bakery, but I can go to Costco, and that would take me another 18 minutes out of my way. Would I go out of my way just for that purpose? L'chora, the same svara should apply to price as well. If you'd wait 72 minutes or go 18 minutes out of your way to save the money, then maybe we can say that, not like the Chalkas B'Yam, who said that price is just never a factor, that it always relates to the chefts of the bread. There's a further discussion when it comes to measuring the meal. The Pesachei Tshuva and Sifkat and Vav says, Ein chilek bein rochev al sus oholeich beraglav. Meaning, a meal is a meal, dalin meal is dalin meal, it's all about distance, it's not about time that it takes to travel. So if you have a bicycle, you can cover the time a little more quickly. You have a car, you can cover the time a little more quickly than that. And that, l'chora, would be a huge kula in our case, right? Because if we're saying that if it's 4 mil out of your way, so it's literally 4 mil out of your way, it's a couple of miles. It's, 4 mil on your way, 1 mil out of your way, it's less than a mile out of your way. So, if the closest Pas Yisrael is less than a mile out of your way, you could still rely on the Pas Palter. You have a similar discussion about that, about how we determine distance. Is it purely based on time, or is it based on distance? Meaning, is it purely based on distance, or is it maybe based on the amount of time it takes to travel? You have a similar such discussion in Hilchos Tfilas HaDarach. I don't want to get into it now because it will distract us too much from the real discussion over here of Pas. But in my second sefer in Simchat Vav, I have a discussion about this with all the Marmakomos among the contemporary poskim about, if you're traveling on a plane, so when's the best time to say Tfilas HaDarach? Do you have to? Is it distance traveled? Is it time traveled that we say Tfilas HaDarach? Let's not get into it right now. So let's get back into Pas. So when it comes to Pas Balabayas, that's where both Mechaber and Rama agree that you're absolutely not allowed to buy and eat bread from your non-Jewish neighbor, friend, or whatever, Pas Balabayas. And the reason for that is because the purpose of the Gezeira was to make sure that Jews don't intermarry, which is especially applicable when it's a non-Jewish neighbor, someone who lives in your neighborhood. Chazal would never go there. A few of the guys pointed out to me in the Beis Medrash that it's so fascinating that Chazal would never go there a particular Gezeira not to actually eat with the Nachri. Right? It seems we're gozer on Pas lest you come to eat with them. When you come to eat with them, that's going to cause chasms. Chazal never said, just don't eat with them. There's a gzera not to drink with them. There's a gzera not to have their pas, not to have their bishul. Maybe just don't have a meal together with them ever at all. Don't go out for a steak dinner at a restaurant. That should be mutter. Probably Chazal will not go to that because it's a gzera shein rov tzibur chalom. And sometimes it's more effective instead of saying that something is just absolutely prohibited, but to be mindful as you're doing it. That if you're going to be having a meal with a nachri, you have to be mindful of a variety of limitations. You have to be mindful. Okay, I'm not allowed to drink any alcohol. I'm not allowed to. Have any pas. I'm not any pas that they made. Any bishul that they did. So being mindful of the halacha sort of keeps you in check a little bit to remind you that there is a barrier, not so dissimilar from Harchakos Nida, right? That Harchakos Nida doesn't drastically alter your entire lifestyle. You still have to have dinner with your wife, but with a heker and not from the same place, right? I mean, these different halachos that sort of just make it that as you're interacting, you're mindful of the fact that the interaction has to be limited in some way. Now, in Sif Ches, Shulchan Aruch brings a sheet of the Ra'ah, who says that in the city where there's absolutely no commercial baker, right, Sif Ches, Yesh Mishomer, to B'makom She'ein Palter Matzui Klal Mutar Afilu Shel Balei Batin. No Jewish baker for sure, because if there was a Jewish baker, then the Mechaber would say you always have to go there, but not even a non-Jewish baker, then you're allowed to have Pas Shel Balei Batin. And the Rama writes, "Vein Tzarich Lahamtin Al Pas Kosher." You don't have to wait for Pas Kosher. V'chein Noagin. That's the Mechaber and the Rama. So that's something also in terms of to what degree how much of a Shasach Chak does it take for one to have to be Mekil on Pas Palter? So that Siv Ches just tells us. And there's one place where you can even be Mekil on Pas Palabayas. That Pas Palabayas, if it's not Matzah Klal. So let's talk about what defines Pas Palter and Pas Palabayas. So that's the Rama right here in Sif Beis. The Rama writes at the end of Sif Beis, V'lo mikri Pas Palabayas elim maso'o libnei beso. Pas Palabayas is something that you made for your, that the guy made for his family. Avalaso limkar, but if he made it to sell, even though it may be one of these home bakery businesses, but it's made to sell, it's made to make money, mikri palter, that's called a palter, avalishen darko bekach. And not only that, even if it's a one-time bake sale, person wants to do something for, to raise money for his favorite charity. So he decides, I'm going to make a bake sale, so I'm going to raise money, I'm going to sell things. So even though they don't normally own a bakery, they don't normally sell things, or a person stam just, puts on a one-time sale, and they make their living some other way, that would have a din of a palter, because they're making this to sell it. And bakers have a home also. People are in the professional baking industry. Mr. Zamek and Mr. Reisman and Mr. They all had families, and they would go home and maybe they would bake a cake at home as well. So when they go and they bake a cake at home as well, so that's paspal abayis. That is not paspalter, right? So that's a very simple geder. At first glance, that would seem to be against the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel. Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh Mishomer Shem Palter Hizmin Yisrael Hare Pito Kipas Bala Bayis, that if a palter invites a Jew to his house, that has the din of Pas Bala Bayis. So it's not against the Shulchan Aruch because he's not selling it to you when he invites you over. So that is that's Pas Bala Bayis. He's giving it to you when he invites you over. So even though he's a palter, so even and this wasn't made for his family, but that's the point. It was made not for selling. It was made for people who are going to be eating in his house. Now, we're going to discuss later whether something that started out as paspalter can become paspal abayis, and this if and the accompanying shach are extremely relevant to that discussion, whether you can repurpose something from paspalter to paspal abayis, or vice versa. But we'll get to that later on. But first I want to point out, before we move on to that, the bombshell of the Shach that we had referred to the other day. The Shach Mamish drops this incredible bombshell in Siv Katan Zayin, where he writes, Davka Pas Oved Kochavim, meaning, what's he talking about? He's talking about the heter of Pas Palter. So he says, yeah, that's when it belongs to a guy. Avol pas Yisrael sha'afa oved kochavim kosva tur shelo nagu b'shum makom lahatir. He says that that if a Jew owns the bakery and a guy does the baking, then that's not called paspalter. That's paspal abayis. That's going to be, or that's pasakum. We don't have the heter of paspalter, and that's therefore going to be aser, which again is so counterintuitive. You would think if a guy owns the bakery and the guy does the baking, that's going to be mutter. Then for sure, if a Jew owns the bakery and a guy does the baking, then it's going to be mutter. But no, the fact that the Jew owns the bread makes it much worse, which would mean that it's better to buy from a non-Jewish bakery baked by a guy than from a Jewish-owned bakery that's not careful to not have the guy do the baking. This is one of the reasons that the Satmar Hechsher is something that you'll find very often on bakeries, on Heimische bakeries. They'll have the Dafka, the Satmar Hechsher, this Achtus Hechsher, because Satmar is not a brand of Chasidus that is known for their kulas, but in this one particular area, they happen to have a kula, both in terms, well, we'll see in a minute, both in terms of Afrashas Chala, as well as in terms of Pas Akum. The Satmar Hechsher, a lot of bakeries want, because hiring Jews is much more expensive than hiring non-Jews. Meaning, to hire the type of non-Jewish workers that could work in a bakery, oftentimes means, bringing your pickup truck to the train station and telling them to jump in the back and then go into your bakery and telling them what to do. And it does not involve a high level of training. And not that Jews would do such things, but off the books, $10 an hour, and they're happy. Whereas when you hire a Jew who's paying yeshiva tuitions, and eating kosher food, and so it doesn't exactly work that way. So most of the hechsherim would require that there be a Jew there at all times. Bakeries always bake at night; they're baking through the night. That's why in the morning you come in, and in the morning everything is fresh. That's I once had a shaila from a bakery in Israel. I got a call at 8 p.m. on a Thursday night. I'm like, you're a bakery in Israel. Why are you calling me? They said, because it's 3 a.m. over here. We can't call anyone in Israel. It was Hafrashas Chala shayla that they forgot to be mafresh, or they were mafresh and then got mixed back in, or whatever it was. That's what it was. They were mafresh and got mixed back in, and they didn't know what to do. And they baked all the challahs that they were selling tomorrow. It was a Thursday night. It was Friday morning already, so they needed to know what to do. So the maestro, they had to wake up some Israeli rabbis, but the in order to be matir, whatever. So this achdus has a kula that you can have only goyim in the bakery all night. And just rely that the guy is going to take off some challah of each dough, and then the Jew will come in the morning and is mafresh. That the guy is going to leave aside some challah in each dough, and the Jew will come and be mafresh. Because challah schutzla aretz, we could be makil, they allowed to be mafresh afilu shalom in a mukav. So they rely on that the Jew will come in and be mafresh in the morning, even though it's now no longer together with the rest of the dough. But this ne'emanus of Gayim was based on something that Rabbi Yecheskel Roth, one of the big Hasidic Poskim, wrote. He wrote a tshuva along those lines. But as far as Pas Aklum, they probably insist that a Jew turn on the fire before he leaves. Right? That's probably how they solve the issue. But most other Hasharim, both because of the Afrashas Chala issue and because of the Pas Aklum issue, will require that a Jewish bakery has a Jew there at all times to make sure that there's a Jew participating in the baking, and to make sure that there's a Jew doing hafrashas challah with every dough that they make. One of the Rav HaMachshirs came up with a contraption where he this was decades ago, where normally when you turn a dial on a stove, so you turn it all the way and it turns off. Right, so he built a contraption where you can't turn it all the way, where it stops, and therefore you can never turn the fire off. And that way, he knew that when he turned the fire on, it was never going to be turned off after that. So that that's effective if you can see to it that it will never ever be turned off. But the big someone's unhappy. The big Maramakom on this topic about a Jewish-owned bakery with a non-Jew doing the baking is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has an unbelievable kula. In Yeridei Chelek Aleph Simen Mem Hei, he addresses the issue that we're struggling with. That this this chiddush that the Shach quotes over here seems to go against the entire idea of Pas Aklum, which is based on chasnus. So how could it be better to have a non-Jewish baker than a Jewish owned bakery? So he says it's tamua, and then he says, it's so hard to explain. So you got to come up with something. So tzarich lomar shemisvara sover kenatur. He says it must be that the Torah held this misfara for the following reason: the kivan the be'etzem gam pasu b'chalis rabishul, since be'etzem really pas should have been included in the regular gzeira of bishul akum, achi sheitiru mebnei adochak, but we had to be makil on pas palter, which we don't do for bishul akum because of the dochak, because it was such a shas al chak al alechim yichya adam. It's chayei nefesh, all of that stuff. So nimtza shiyesh inyan iser adayin. So there's some level of iser. V'lechein bepas Yisrael shaleka dochak diyachal lischar polim Yisraelim lo itiru. He says, so when there's circumstances of a dochak, we have to be makel and pas paltin. But if a Jew owns the bakery, how big of a dochak it is? Just turn the knob yourself. Meaning, if it's the Jews aren't in the baking business, or this bakery isn't owned by a Jew, so it would be difficult to arrange that Jews are going to be doing everything. So because of the tchak, they were matir pas palter. But in a circumstance where it's as simple as turning your wrist, let the Jewish owner come in the morning and turn on the ovens, so that's not a tchak, and therefore we could be making. That's what Moshe says. So far. Who cares? Meaning it's a svara that he's saying here or there, unless the svara has some practical implication, right? Does it really matter so much? Okay, I know what the shach says. You can give whatever svara you want. Says Rav Moshe, imkein mistaver, and if I'm right, that the only reason we're more machmir by a Jewish-owned bakery is because it's so easy to solve the problem, just have the Jew do everything, imkein mistaver, that just like we don't say that you should buy only from a Jewish baker because you can't always find a Jewish baker, with workers, it's also hard to get Jewish workers all the time. And therefore, the chumrah of the shach would only apply in a small bakery where it's Jewish owned and the owner comes in every day and he could do the baking himself. So when you let a guy bake, that's usher. Because why are you doing that? It's so easy to solve it. But if you have a giant bakery, if you have a big situation, you have a Jew owns, Mr. Entman happens to be a Jew, right? If you have something that's a much larger scale operation where it's not shaykh for one person to do all the baking. So yeah, what, the rich guy that owns the whole place happens to be Jewish, but it's not shaykh that he's going to do all the baking. So then we could be makel, because then you go back to the heter paspalter. And it should be no worse to have a Jewish home than a non-Jewish home. We go back to that svara. Whoa. So it's one thing to throw out a svara for the shach that, okay, maybe it's because it's so easy to solve. But then to say, and therefore I'm willing to rely on it, lekula. Right? Ramosh is saying, I'm willing to rely on it, lekula. That you can say that if it's a bigger scale operation, that then you can consider it paspalter. So this chumrah of the shach would mean that if you're baking challah in your house, right, let's say, so what happens? You make the dough, you wait for the dough to rise, you braid it, you put it in the pans, and so you wait for it to rise again, to rise further. So you don't want to put it in the oven until it fully rises. But the balabasta is going to be at work all day, she's going to be driving car, she's going to be running around, she's going to be doing a million things that women somehow manage to do on their daily schedules. So she has a housekeeper at home, and she tells the housekeeper, do me a favor, when the dough rises all the way, in about an hour, stick the dough in the oven, and stick the challahs in the oven. And then when she comes home, she'll take them out of the oven, or she tells them to stick them in the oven, take them out after an hour, whatever she tells her. If the housekeeper's turning on the oven, and the housekeeper's putting the dough in the oven, just like Bishul Akum is usher, so Pas Akum is going to be usher in that case. That would be considered Pas Akum under the ownership of a Jew. Now, obviously that's usher, that you don't even need the shach for, because it's certainly not Pas Palter in that case. Now, at the end, Rav Moshe says, Ukshapoalim heim Yisrael. What if you have Jewish workers who are Mechali Shabbos Befarhesia? So, should we be doubly Machmir? Meaning, should we be Machmir that they are considered to be Goyim? So he says, Yoser Nota Kasov Mdein Lahem Dinakum Linyazet, Do Yisru Mishum Chasnus, Velo Nesra Achitun, Vitama Machmir Tamua, Vada Yishlus Machamashak Safti. That's interesting. So Moshe says, I have this kula, which says that if the Jewish owner, it's not practical for him to do all the baking, then it's going to be okay, then it's going to be mutter. I understand your reticence to rely on my kula, but at least with the tziruf of non-religious workers, we can rely on my kula. Meaning if it's a non-religious Jewish worker, then the tziruf of those two kulas, my kula says Rav Moshe, that it's still considered paspalter, even though it's Jewish-owned, as long as it's difficult for the Jewish owner to do the baking. But tziruf, the kula that Mechal Shabbos Paresia has the din of a Jew, so you put that together, and it would be mutter. Hamsvi, the Aruch HaShulchan is makel against the shach, and it's not that it's a universally accepted shita of the shach. You know, the idea that Rav Moshe says, so better to have non-religious Jews. One always has to be careful with that. Also, sometimes in a lot of issues relating to ne'emanus and who you trust with what, sometimes a guy is better than a non-religious Jew. There was a store that needed to buy bourbon that they wanted to sell, so they asked the company if they're Jewish owned. Right? Why do they want to know if the bourbon is a Jewish owned company that they're buying from? Chamish Arvelav Pesach. So the owner of the company thought, it's going to get me more business if I say I'm Jewish, right? So, he figures that, the Jewish store wants to know for Jewish owned. He said, yes, proud Jews, we fly the Zionist flag. We fly the Israeli flag, 365 days a year. We're like Yeshiva University. So obviously it worked against them. There are a lot of shul custodians who lost their jobs because claimed to be Jewish or found out to be Jewish. But anyway, so Raffelder in his Sefer quotes a Maisa Shaya, said the following happened. A Jewish pizza store owner, imagine your local pizza shop, or if you live, I guess, anywhere near here, one of your 12 local pizza shops. So you go into the owner shows up in the morning, and the non-Jewish workers had already come in before him. They turned on the ovens and they baked the first few pizzas already, before he got there. Okay, so now what is this? This is a Jewish-owned store, and the non-Jew did all the baking, and the Jew didn't turn on the oven, didn't do anything. And the first couple of pizzas are already, the first several pizzas are already baked. So Felder says that the Maisa Shaya was that the guy called the local Rav, and the local Rav said, don't worry, you have Rav Maisha. You have Rav Maisha to rely on. Because Rav Maisha holds that we don't have to be machmir like the Shach. Do you have Rav Maisha to rely on? Absolutely not, right? Absolutely not. If the Jew is coming into the store every day, right, and it's not a big operation, it's a local pizza store, it doesn't seem that you really have Rav Maisha to rely on. Rav Maisha was telling me you have a big operation where it's not shayach that the Jew is going to do it. Question is, where would Rav Maisha draw the line? Let's say it's shayach that the Jew would turn on the oven, but it's not shayach that the Jew would do all of the baking. Right, meaning maybe this pizza store owner also owns the bagel store down the road, and he also owns a supermarket, somewhere. Right, so it's not shayach that he can do all the. It's shayach that on his way in the morning he'll turn on the oven. So do you just need it to be shayach that he would have the capacity to avoid technically the pasachim issue, or do you need it that it would be shayach that he would be the baker of the pizza? But Pashto says you don't have Ramosha in that case. And then Rafelder writes that even if Rav Moshe's kula did apply, it would only turn it into paspalter. And if you're selling to Sfardim, and there's Pas Yisrael available in town, there's another pizza shop in town that actually sells Pas Yisrael. So you're gonna be causing a problem. And furthermore, if you're advertising that you're Pas Yisrael, you have a chashem mishpat issue. Right, because meaning Rav Moshe's kula turns it from pas akum into pas palter, but it doesn't make it pas Yisrael. So whatever chumras people might have, if someone wants to be machmir like the other shach that says that people should try to be machmir about pas palter, right? Or if you're going to be svardi, someone's a svardi, and if there's a pas Yisrael in town, they have to be machmir about pas palter. So l'chora, you have a chosh mishpat issue. He then points out, but one could argue that, the halacha is, the mechaber says, that Sfardim can eat pas palter if it's a shas adchak. So maybe the hefsin meruba of all those pizzas that were baked would qualify as a shas adchak. Who's hefsin meruba? It's the pizza shop owner's hefsin meruba. Why should the innocent Sfardi, right? You walk into that store, you're going to be okay with that. Right? I mean, why should the innocent smarty guy walks into the store? Why should he be okay with that? It's your hefsin meruba. It's not my hefsin meruba. I got eight other pizza stores I can go to. I don't feel a hefsin meruba. I don't know if that's not a shas adchak for me. Okay, difficult. Now, speaking of that idea that the mechaber says that if there's no pas Yisrael available, or similar pas Yisrael available. There's a Chuvas Shraga HaMeir, Chelik Vav, Simon Kufnun Hay, where he writes that according to the Mechaber, and the Shach, who's Machmer like the Mechaber, that Pas Palter is only Mutter B'Shas HaChak, what if a person is gluten-free, celiac, or something like that? So, L'chora, that should also be considered a Shas HaChak, and they can buy from a non-Jewish baker. According to the Ramah, you can always buy pas palter even if you don't have a strict diet, because the Ramah permits pas palter. Now, what about receiving gluten-free bread from a non-Jewish neighbor, pas palabayis? So, the Mechaber and Simches might apply. Yesh mishomer, the Ramah Mishayim palter matzik klal mutra filo shel balei batim. If no one is baking, no Jews are baking gluten-free bread, and the only one doing it is, even though there are plenty of Jews baking other bread with regular wheat flour, so maybe that's that mechaber and sivches would apply. Now, we've discussed three categories, right? We had pas Yisrael, pas palter, and pas palabayis. There is a mipi hashmua from Rav Moshe about pas ha-factories, which are bishul ha-factories also, which may play into this. Now, I just want to be, we have to keep in mind that there are two things from Rav Moshe that we might easily confuse for each other, but they are not the same. One thing is Rav Moshe we just said, that in a large bakery where it's not shaykh that the Jewish owner is going to do all the baking, so we can rely that when a non-Jew bakes in a Jewish-owned bakery, if it's a large operation, that it's paspalten, that's paspalten. Mipia Shmua, in Chuvas Rivvos Ephraim, Cheleke Simitav Kuf Tzadivav, he quotes Rav Moshe. This is also in the first ever Mesorah journal. He writes, Hara'ab bedek abayis kasav zel shono, sha'ofa ofa bebayis miyuchad lekach veinu miskavin levash al yatzmo, v'lo l'shum adam yuchad el l'malachto, l'vishu sachir levos levash al kol abab bebayis miyuchad shein b'nei adam ochlim bo, that your guy is running the store, and he's baking for nobody in particular. There's no particular individual that he's looking to bake for. V'lo shosma, no one's going to eat or drink in his store. V'rishus harabim l'kola olam, and it's a rishus ram for anybody. B'zeh afshar ladun l'zchus. D'chiha lo chashu bishulei nachrim, that's not called bishulakum. D'lo shayich pa'i kruvei daita. Meaning it's such an industrial type of setting that doesn't lead to any sense of a kruvei daita. V'kol shkein linyan pas shei kilubam. And for sure, by pas, where we're making a pas palter anyway, and pas palter has its own kulas, that more than bishalakum has, so we could be makel in a very industrial setting. So says Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, in the name of Rav Moshe, L'divrei hara'a efshar shebekol beis charoshes ein bo mishum bishulei nachrim, shebevashel mekol olam. He says you could avoid any industrial, total industrial setting, not a local bakery, not a local restaurant. That's palter, the local bakery. But the Stelladoro factory, the Entenmann's factory. So maybe that's not pas at all, pas akum at all. V'chein mostrim b'shem hagram Feinstein zatzal sheshtamish svar kazush al ra'ah v'ibetshuvik saviyat shenichtva al piv me'es harav Rav Nata Greenblatt. So Tshuva Miksavyan, except not Rav Moshe's Ksavyan. So Rav Nata wrote notes on Rav Moshe's Tshuva, and Rav Nata Zatzal, Echad Mitalmidav HaMuvhakim, Rav Shechter wrote all these things in the Masorah journals usually, so Rav Nata was one of the Talmidim HaMuvhakim of Rav Moshe. He wrote this up, V'kara Lefanav, and he read what he wrote in front of Rav Moshe, V'agayin Hiskim V'amar Shenichtav HaKaron. And Rav Moshe said, good, maskim. So we don't have an actual Ksav Yad Rav Moshe, but we have a Ksav Yad Rav Nata, who said that he read it to Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe was masking. At a factory setting, you don't have to worry at all. And then the Ha'aras Ha'aras, the editor's note, which is Rabbi Kenak, I assume, Sha'alnu me'eis b'noshal Hagon Rav Moshe Feinstein, Hagon Rav Ruvain Feinstein Shlita, v'amar shakenu be'emes, v'sha'ef shal afisa b'li kol chshash. Rav Ruvain said, "Absolutely, that was his father's opinion. Factories are more makel; we could be more makel with factories than with the palter. In a factory, you're never going to meet the person that's preparing the bread. The bread is baked in huge industrial kalim. There's no chashash of chasnus, and the bread is mutter even according to the Shulchan Aruch, even when there are Jewish bakers around." Now, that's based on the Ra'ah, like we said, it says that when there's no chashash of ikruve daita, of getting to know one another on a personal basis, Chazal never made the gzeira. So again, that's different to what he writes in Yeridei Chelekal in Memhei, where he says that when the factory workers bake bread in Jewish-owned factory, it's fine. Over there, it's fine means that it's paspalta. But over here, it means that it's mamishma. It's not pasakim at all. It's just no problem. It's not included in any gezeira that there's no problem at all. So both Ashkenazim and Sephardim could eat the bread from a non-Jewish factory because the gezeira was never said with regard to factories, and it would be pas Yisrael. So Rav Avadia in Yabia Omer Chelake Simintes Osei says that we could be makel only if there's another major tzad lahaka. And the policy of the OU is to require another major tzad lahaka. Not to rely on this kula, you need another tzirut. So the sniff that they commonly use is that a Jew, that in Kufya Bey Siftes, the Shulchan Aruch says that a Jew only needs to do a little bit. And it's possible that the Mashgichim will do it anyway, will do something anyway, they just need to, very little bit, we'll see how little bit a little later on. Another sniff is that, meaning, I'm talking about the first school of Rav Moshe, that Rav Hadi says, we rely on the first school of Rav Moshe with another sniff. One other sniff might be the second kula of Rav Moshe, right? Meaning the fact that we might not even have, if a Jew owns, not a bakery, but a Jew owns a factory, he has non-Jewish workers. So you have Rav Moshe's kula that's going to turn it into paspalter. So are we so pleased with Rav Moshe's kula based on the svara that he gave for why the tour and the shach made this chilek? I don't know if we're so thrilled with Rav Moshe's kula. So Rav Vadia and the OU both hold. Yeah, with another sniff, you could be making like Rav Moshe, but maybe another sniff is the Mipi HaShmua of Rav Moshe, that it doesn't even enter the conversation of Pasakum at all, because it's a factory setting. Also, factory bread very often is not Olal Shulchan Malachim, and there's Machloka, we already saw Machloka Sachronim, whether the heter of not Olal Shulchan Malachim exists by Pas also or only by Bishul. So the Avnei Nezer is Mekel. So maybe you could use the Avnei Nezer as an additional sniff if it's factory bread. The Shevet Alevi in Chelek Vav Simu Kovches quotes from Chazanish to argue, and he says factories to argue on the second Kula of Moshe. He says not a Chiddush to argue on the second Kula of Moshe, but he says factories are paspalter. That's what palter means. Palter means it's done professionally, and we can't be making a life of Moshe. Okay, so that's the discussion about palter and to what extent we could be making. For Palter. Questions? There were a few heads. Yeah.
And that one relies on this for the
factory. So that's the next step, right? Meaning, are there times that, meaning when we say we rely on something, so it could mean two things. It could be we rely on a kula and therefore it's paspalter and for Ashkenazim it's therefore fine. Yeah, but that would mean Aseres Mitzvah is going to be a problem. Or it could mean we rely on it and therefore it's pas Yisrael. So normally we assume factory bread is pas palter, not necessarily pas Yisrael. We rely on Rav Moshe that it's called pas palter, even if it's a Jewish-owned factory that has non-Jewish workers working in the factory.
This is the woman who gives the housekeeper
to clean. Does her being not enough? Is it part of the baking process? So we'll get to that. We'll get to what she has to do in the preparation of the dough. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. That's going to sift text. Okay. And Yudalev. Okay, we'll get there. The cases where we should be machmir, even if you're an Ashkenazi, are the following. First of all, If you're an Ashkenazi, he wants to be machmir like the Shach and Sifkat and Tess, who says that even Ashkenazim should do like the Mechaber. Okay, so that's a reasonable chumra that some people have, that they're always machmir on pas Yisrael because they don't want to rely on pas palter if there's a Jewish bakery in town. So that's a reasonable chumra that many Ashkenazim have. A second, the Shach also says that on Aseres Yimei Tshuva we should be machmir not to buy pas palter. And the Shulchan Aruch brings that brings this in Orach Chaim Sim Tafresh Gimel. He writes, "Aseres Yimei Tshuva tzarich li zahir." That we need to be careful during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. The svara is, Sablovsky pointed out, and others point out, the svara is that why would we make on paspalter to begin with? It was only because they initially made gzeir on everything on all pasachum, but we had to pull it back because it was just too difficult. We couldn't live with that. For 10 days you can live. For 10 days when we're trying to be on our best behavior, you're able to live to a higher standard. It's not too hard for 10 days. Now, notably, it's a mechaber in Orach Chaim. Meaning, the mechaber says in Orach Chaim, this is like a fine point that you got to pick up on. The mechaber in Orach Chaim says that pas palter should be usher during a Aseres Yimei Tshuva. The mechaber in Yerideya said pas palter is us always, right? Meaning the Mechaber said, if there's Pas Yisrael available, Pas Palter is us always. So what's he saying to Aruch Chaim during Aseret Yemei Teshuva? It's not the Ramah. The Ramah doesn't say a word. He's masking to the Mechaber in Aruch Chaim. But what's the Mechaber saying in Aruch Chaim that past Paltum, we should be Machmir in Aseret Yemei Teshuva? What he must be saying is that if you learn Yaradei Akuf Yud Beis, you'll discover that there are kulas for Pas Palter. What are the kulas for Pas Palter? No, what are the kulas? And when there's no Pas Yisrael, there's no Palter Yisrael, there's no Jewish bread available, there's one kula. The other kula is the Jewish bread, it's just not good, right? The Jewish bread is not as good, it's more tasty than non-Jewish bread. So when the Mechaber says in Aruch Chaim that we need to be machmir pas palter during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, l'chora he's saying that one of those kulas doesn't work for Aseret Yemei Teshuva. The question becomes, and when the Ramah says nothing, does that mean that the Ramah agrees to that additional level of chumra? Or is it just that everybody slides over a step, right? That the Mechaber starts off with these two kulas and then says, let's cut out one of those kulas. The Mechaber, the Ramah starts out being totally makel and pas palter, and then slides over to what the Mechaber holds in Yeridaya. Right? What exactly, how would you understand that? Right? The Ramah doesn't say a word. It sounds like he's being maskim ledasa Mechaber over there. That's our lizar from how are we going to define pas palter. So the Mishnah Berurah on the spot over there says that if it's Aseret Yemei Teshuva and you can't find bread baked by a Jew within 4 mil, you could buy the bread from a non-Jewish baker. Meaning that the kula of Ein Palter Yisrael does apply in Aseret Yemei Teshuva, which would lead you to believe that if there's a kula that there's got to be a kula that doesn't apply, it's the other one, right? Which is that the pas akum tastes better than the pas Yisrael. That we don't rely on in Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Right? That's the implication. Right? The Mishmur is going to say, Ein Palti Yisrael, that we can be makel even during Aseret Yemei Teshuva. But the Mechaber is machmir and pas palter throughout the rest of the year. So what's he telling me exactly? So he must be telling me that even if the pas palter is better tasting than the pas Yisrael, you're not allowed to have the pas palter. L'chora, that's what it would seem. Darkei Tshuva quotes such a daya. Darkei Tshuva in Yeridaya over here quotes such a daya that even for Ashkenazim, the Ramah must be masking to the Mechaber. The Mechaber must hold that the heter of Pas Akum being better than Pas Yisrael doesn't apply. And therefore Ashkenazim, even if the better bread is the non-Jewish bread, Ashkenazim should only have Jewish bread during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Again, not necessarily convincing. It could be that everyone's just sliding over a step. Yeah.
Does the heter of Pas Yisrael not being available within a certain distance or a certain time apply?
Apply to what?
If you just order it, versus if you have to go yourself to get it. Now that you can order it, yeah. Can that be told you how much time, distance, you can order it?
Meaning they'll deliver it to you.
Deliver it to you.
So then it's, right, then it's available.
But meaning if it will be there. Time, it would take them a day to deliver it.
Oh, okay.
So would that be the same thing?
Right, meaning would it make enough community whether you have to go to them or they come to you? Yeah. Good question, I'm not sure. Another time to be machmir not to purchase pas palter is Shabbos, or not to eat pas palter is Shabbos. The Ramah in Aruch Chaim in Reish Mem Beis says that there's a custom that people make challah for Shabbos. I mean, they always eat bread all week. There's a custom that you bake special challah for Shabbos, right? And that's something a lot of people do, even though they don't maybe bake so much during the week. But bake challah for Shabbos, that's something that that we do. So Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat and Vav quotes from a Magen Avraham, who says that even those who are making to eat pas palter during the week shouldn't do so on Shabbos. And the Shaar HaTzion points out that it's not only for Lechem Mishnah at any point on Shabbos, even during the meal, you shouldn't have any pas palter on Shabbos. So this is very relevant, for Shabbos parties, or, you want to have, Oreos. Right? It's a good Shabbos afternoon snack, right, at your Shabbos party. So an Oreo cookie is pas palter. So if you're going to be machmir on Shabbos, then you shouldn't have the Oreos, even double stuff. Triple stuff is just a little gross, but even double stuff, you shouldn't have at your Shabbos party. L'chora. This was a big deal in Mishpacha magazine a number of years ago, because Rabbi David Bashefkin used to write a column in Mishpacha magazine where he wrote about top five things. So he wrote top five Shabbos party foods, and he put Stella Doro cookies. You know which ones, right? With the chocolate in the middle. Different people have different names for it. Strimal cookies, belly button cookies. Okay, depending how gross you want to be. So he put Stella Doro cookies in definitely top five Shabbos party snack. So Rabbi Natanel Wiederblank and his shir that year were learning, I guess, Avodah Zarah, or they were learning some of these sugyas, maybe in some halach. So they wrote a letter to Mishpacha, with all due respect to Rabbi Bashefkin, how could that be a top five Shabbos party snack? That's paspalter. You know, we should try to be mapping for the Mishnah Berurah. So, two parts of our yeshiva were having it out on the pages of Mishpacha magazine. David was very, Rabbi Shafi was very excited by that letter. he got a lot of anoa from it. It was all over Twitter. Now, it is interesting that the lashon the Shulchan Aruch uses about Aseres Yemei Tshuva is tsarich li zaher. The lashon that the Mishnah Berurah uses about Shabbos is nachon li zaher. So it seems that it's not as strong a minhag as Aseres Yemei Tshuva is. Also, the Eliyahu Rabba disagrees and he thinks there's no Indian to be machmir on Shabbos b'chlal. So it's nachon li zaher, and Eliyahu Rabba disagrees with that Magen Avraham. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, thinks you don't have to be machmir on Shabbos at all. It seems like a worthwhile. You know, some chumras are easy. You know, if you're not so into the... there's so many... I mean, if you live, again, in the tri-state area, you have a kosher bakery in town that has pas Yisrael. You know, so much... You know, you just buy cookies there for Shabbos. It's pretty easy. Pretty easy chumrah to take. Someone in Rabbi Feldman said, before I forget, he said that he asked Rabbi Yashin if price makes a difference when it comes to preferring pas paltra over pas Yisrael. And Rabbi Yashin said, how much more does it cost for Jewish bread? So Rabbi Felder, and then they pushed him out of the room, right? Meaning like he got like 3 seconds, and then so he's like, "What do you mean by that?" You know, so he had to like come up with a type that if it's X amount more, then he would have been makel, or he just doesn't like, you know, you have to figure out what exactly Rabbi Yashin meant by that. But that's what Rabbi Yashin said. Yeah, I love it. Say again, to be what?
If you're allowed to Moshe at school, that means at least the combination of Ramah, Jewish entities aren't as good, Jewish soldiers aren't as good. For Shabbos, you can take your
Okay, you have a lot of svaras to throw around. One could even make the argument that if you really hold like Rav Moshe, it's better than your local than the local bakery. It depends what the local bakery does, right? I mean, the local bakery is probably real pasta as well. So, I'm not sure.
During the Seder Shabbat, somebody make a dish that has Oreos in it, but it's like bottle, it's like crush it up.
You have Oreos used in ice cream. So you make cookie ice cream. Yeah. Probably not. Well, no, this pasta. We'll get to that when the pasta becomes bato. Okay, we'll get there, and what it would take for it to become bato. Next topic is changing bread from pas akum to pas balabais. Paltra to pas balabais, or vice versa. There is a machlokas rishonim quoted by the Beis Yosef, whether pas paltur can become pas balabais, right? Meaning it started out as pas paltur, and then the guy takes it home. The non-Jewish baker, let's say he doesn't even take it home. Non-Jewish baker has extra food at the end of the day, so he baked it to sell it. It was pas paltur, and then he gives it to his non-Jewish friend who brings it home. So does it now become pas balabais? So according to the Rashba and the Rush, we always follow when it was baked. At the time that it was baked, it was pas palter. It's pas palter forever. if at the time that it was baked it was paspal bayis, then it was paspal bayis forever. So the bread is baked for selling, that even if your non-Jewish neighbor brought it home and gave it to you as a gift, it's still paspal. The same is true in reverse. If the bread was baked by your non-Jewish neighbor and he gave it to the local baker who later sold it to you, then the bread is going to be awesome. However, the Ra'ah disagrees, and the Ra'ah holds that we follow where the bread is now. So bread baked by a palter that was bought by your non-Jewish neighbor, even bought l'chora by your non-Jewish neighbor, and he's giving it to you, it becomes paspal bayis, because you're not buying it from him. He's giving it to you, and it's now in his house. So Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel says, Yesh Misha Omer, Shem Palter Hizmin Yisrael Hare Pito Kapaspal Abayis. And if a Palter invites the Yisrael to his house, then the bread is going to be awesome. So obviously the Chiddush over here is that the baker is bringing bread from his store for dinner. L'chor, if he's baking at home, there's no Chiddush. Of course it's going to be Aser. It's going to be considered Paspal Abayis, because whatever he does for a living during the day doesn't change the status of bread that he bakes in his house. So the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a case where a palter baked bread for selling. He brought it home. He brought the leftovers home. At the end of the day, because he can't sell bread that's not fresh. He doesn't run such a Heimish business. So he can't sell bread that's not. He can only sell the fresh stuff. So it would seem that the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Ra'ah, that we follow the current status of the bread, because the Shulchan Aruch says he can't have it. It's paspal l'bayis. It started out as paspal. It's paspal l'bayis. The Gra, Siv Katan Yud, makes this point that, yeah, Mechaber's going like the Ra'ah over here. Right? Seems that way, at least. Kein Kosova Ra'ah. This is how the Ra'ah holds, says the Gra. However, the Shach in Siv Katan Yud Beis points out that it's a steer in the Mechaber. Because in Siv Zayin, the Mechaber clearly passes like the Rashba and the Rash, who say that the status of the bread is determined by the time it was baked, and that's it. Because the Mechaber writes, Paspal abayis asur liolam, afilu kana palter mimenu, vafilu shulcha liyisrael abeiso, v'chein afilu shulcha osa yisrael l'achar asur liolam, v'shal palter muteres liolam, afilu kana pal abayis mimenu, shalo holchu b'isru zeh achar misha pas b'yado achshav, ela achar misha ha'ilu b'sha safiyah. We don't look at where the bread is now, we look at where it was at the Shah safiyah. So the Shach asks the steer in the Mechaber. That on the one hand, over here in Siv Gimel, the Mechaber passes like the Ra'ah. Siv Zayin, the Mechaber passes like the Rashba. So which is it? Do we look at where the bread is now, or do we look at when the bread was baked? So the Shach gives two answers in Shach, and then he gives a third answer in Nekudas HaKesef. So in Shach, he writes, answer number one is, we pass them like the Rashba in Siv Zayin. Whatever it was, is. Right? It's not going to change. In Siv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch starts with Yesh Mi Sha'omer. Yesh Mi Sha'omer means you should know there's a Shita Sara'ah out there. We don't paskin like this Shita Sara'ah. Stay tuned for another four Sifim and you'll see what we actually paskin like. That's what the Mechaber meant. Yesh Mi Sha'omer, but we don't paskin like it. Then comes along the Shach and he says the second answer is that we really do paskin like the Rashba. And we always follow the time of baking, like it says in Siv Zayin. However, Siv Gimel is still correct. Not that it's only Yesh Mishomer, it's correct, but only in specific circumstances. In Siv Gimel, we're machmir to asur the bread because you're eating it in his house. It's not just that it went to his house and then he brought it to you, or he gave it to you, or he sent it to you. Your mamish going into his house. Siv Zayin is talking about your non-Jewish neighbor bought the bread from the non-Jewish baker and then gave it to you as a gift. He left it at your door, welcome to the neighborhood, gift or something like that. To eat in your own home. So we pass like the Rashba that we follow what it was at the time of baking, unless you're also eating it in the non-Jew's home. If you're eating in the non-Jew's home, that makes it much worse. And that's what the Pritor writes. The Pritor is Reb Chaim Ben Attar, Yerach Chaim HaKadosh. He explains the Shach, that Yesh Mishomer is the sheet of the Ra'ah, Visvar Nechona, Hagam Dinispar Kar Rashba, B'mashu Kasav Dolch Nachar Mishay Yisrael B'yad B'shal Safiyah, even though he really holds like the Rashba, Aval Pikein, B'chiyai Gavna, Kivin Di Yikara D'milsa Mishum Akruvi Daita, remember what all Ma'achol Yaakum is about, it's all about Akruvi Daita, Ein Lecha Akruvi Daita Kahai, V'anan Sahadi D'Rebi Di Hitar Es HaPas, Lo Hitar El Chai Nefesh, Rebbe was Matir Pas for the sake of Chai Nefesh, So you can buy it from a meat at home, and that solves your chayin nefesh. You don't have to go eating in the guy's house. So since the gzeirah pasakum is so that you shouldn't get too friendly with him, eating in his house, we're going to be machmir like the ra'ah. That's the second approach. Third approach, what he writes in the Kudus HaKesef. And he says that only bread baked by a non-Jewish baker who then brings it home is going to be aser. But if a regular non-Jew who isn't a baker buys bread from the non-Jewish bakery and he brings it home, that's going to be fine. Because it started out as paspalter and therefore it remains paspalter. Meaning, if a non-Jewish baker bakes bread and sells it, we're sure that he made it for commercial purposes because it was sold. But when he brings it home, I don't know, maybe he baked a little extra in his bakery that day knowing that he's going to need some bread at home. And if that's what he did, so then this bread was baked not for sale. Meaning a guy knew that he normally sells 10 cakes in a day. So he dafka made 12 that day because he knew that it was his kid's birthday and he wants to invite his neighbor over. Or he wants to bring a gift to his neighbor. So yeah, it may have been done in the bakery. It may have been done alongside the products that he meant to sell. But as soon as he baked it, he wrapped it up and put it aside, and that was to bring home. So that would have the status of paspala bites. If it's not a baker, you have no reason to assume, and he got it from a bakery, then of course it's paspalter, like the Rashba. So that's the third approach. Now, the point I wanted to make, we'll close with this, is that according to the Shach's second answer and the Pritohar's explanation, you have the following question. Your non-Jewish business colleague takes you out to eat in a non-kosher restaurant. Is the bread there considered paspalter? It's being sold for commercial purposes, but you're being wined and dined, right? You know, you have an internship, and they take out all the interns for dinner, and somehow, let's say you know that the bread is only kosher ingredients. I don't know how you know that, but let's say somehow you know that the bread is only kosher ingredients. So is the bread going to be considered paspalter or paspalabayis? Because your non-Jewish colleague is buying it for you. Let's assume not the company. Your non-Jewish colleague is buying it for you. So it would seem that according to the first answer of the Shach, and according to the third answer of the Kudus HaKesef, you could eat the bread because the bread was made for commercial purposes. We pass like the Rashba. But according to the second answer of the Shach and the Pritohar, the bread is asur because your non-Jewish colleague invited you. And maybe it's considered that you're eating in his home. It's considered paspala bites. However, in the Ol Yaakov, he quotes an answer that he got from the Avnei Yashba, who is makil in a restaurant, even according to the Shach's second answer. It says there's a difference between a home and a restaurant. Bread bought in a bakery is considered paspala bites when it's eaten at the non-Jew's home, or in some sort of neutral environment. But when you're eating in a restaurant where all the food and the bread is produced for commercial purposes, that doesn't change the status of the bread. But obviously you would still need to make sure that the bread is actually kosher. And in a restaurant, you can't always rely on stam kelim ein b'nei yomin either. So even if you know that the ingredients are kosher, you don't know that the kelim are kosher, so it's never actually going to happen. Okay, so from tomorrow, I'd like to try to make a run for it and finish up Pas Akum. So basically, sift the rest of it. We probably won't, but at least I could say that I'd like to try. So, especially since it's Thursday, we probably won't. But, either tomorrow or Sunday. No later than Sunday, believe that.